also because that notion is somewhat contradictory to what we've been told and to what we've been telling ourselves for so long, which is give, 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 you know, give to get, give, 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 keep giving, you know, overall. Well, and now what we're also kind of saying is, hey, you got to be okay with taking a little bit, taking some things for yourself, putting yourself first, and getting past the notion that that's selfish. There are selfish behaviors. Don't get me wrong. There absolutely are. There are plenty of selfish douchebag guys out there that need to be called out on their behaviors. And we have a responsibility to do that too. Mm-hmm. But putting yourself first, like in context, is not inherently a selfish behavior. That doesn't mean, you know, in a selfish manner. If anything, it's in a selfless manner for the reasons that you described.
Welcome to the show. I'm Joe Horton. On the Gilded Dad Show, we unwrap weekly the incredible stories, skills, and expertise of the world's most captivating dads and experts, along with topics and stories that will captivate you and impact your life. If you're an existing listener, then thanks for your ongoing support of the podcast. I'm really grateful to you for diving into the conversations I'm having. If you've just discovered the podcast, then welcome to the show. Check back through the past episodes, as I'm sure there's going to be something in there that will pique your interest. To you guys, the dads that listen, you motivate and inspire me to forge ahead with Guild of Dads and help as many dads as I can through the conversations I have. There are a couple of ways that you can get involved with the Guild of Dads movement. You can reach out to me on Instagram, Facebook, and also Twitter. I'm doing a lot on Twitter right now. You can also join our rapidly growing free Facebook group and join the Guild. Over in there, you'll find a positive, encouraging community of other dads on life's journey. I'm very pleased to say that my message is resonating, a message of personal growth and brotherhood and celebrating men and dads, along with the far-reaching impact we can have on society. I'm proud to be on this journey with you guys and leading this movement. So what do you get on this podcast? Each week we deliver content and conversations that will expand what you think is possible for yourself, enabling you to positively impact yourself, all areas of your life, and the life of those that surround you. We do this by speaking to fascinating individuals, best-selling authors, entrepreneurs and ultra-athletes, professors, psychologists, and also some ordinary dads like you, doing some extraordinary and impactful things. Every episode will give you actionable resources to take away or a different perspective on a particular topic. And these conversations are important and necessary right now because the world is changing. The role of dads and men is constantly under the spotlight, sometimes under attack. My dream is to make Guild of Dads the go-to resource for dads like you who want to make some changes in your lives and live lives of vision, action, commitment. So today's episode is about the dad bod. Now, unless you've been on planet Mars, you would have heard this term. And there doesn't seem to be any one definition for what constitutes it. What does constitute a dad bod? But more and more, it's been celebrated, often as part of the body positivity movement. But what does this mean for our health, and not just our aesthetics? Is it something we should aspire towards? And is the body positivity conversation overshadowing the health discussion on this topic right now? Today, I'm joined by coach, entrepreneur, father to teenage boys, and host of the Midlife Male podcast, Greg Scheinman. Greg helps men to improve themselves during midlife, and he uses a number of different tools in order to affect change. He also speaks about a number of different topics that affect men and dads on his podcast, the Midlife Male podcast. And now to my conversation with Greg Scheinman. Greg, welcome to the Guild of Dads podcast.
Hey, Joe, it's awesome to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. I'm really pleased to be speaking to you today because we sort of linked up kind of by accident on social media a few weeks ago when we were kind of both kind of jumping in on a discussion that was centering around a topic which kind of irks us both a little bit by the sounds of things. And so what I'm going to do actually today is I'm going to actually start off on that topic because I think it's kind of a good way to segue into this kind of whole kind of conversation around kind of midlife and dads and what we all we'll go through. We both saw a post from a leading online kind of men's magazine, if you like, offering a reward for somebody having a dad bod. And it was a $25,000 reward. So a big, big reward. There wasn't anything on the post about, you know, we're looking for someone to transform their body into something that's kind of more healthy. It was just $25,000. We're looking for guys with a dad bod. And I chimed in and said, you know, I'm surprised, you know, I was quite surprised that they would come out with that. I think you were too. My reasons are that, you know, chronic disease runs in my family, and I've worked very hard to get my body in a good place in the last few years. And this kind of anti-aspirational messaging, kind of, I'm like, why would you do that? And we had a little bit of discussion about it. But I just wondered, you know, I know you have your reasons as well, and you may well delve into that. What's your thoughts on this kind of whole, I'm going to call it anti-aspirational mindset that we're getting into with stuff like the dad bod right now?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I mean, first, it's great to have this dialogue. You know, before we even hit the record button, we were talking about the notion of civil discourse, or the ability to agree to disagree, you know, and whether that still exists, you know, anymore, or whatever your opinion is. You can find somebody to agree with you on some other platform or publication or blog or post or YouTube channel. Like, everybody can be anything they want, you know, right now, and put out whatever they want. So I enjoy this type of back and forth, this type of dialogue. I also think it's fair to, it was Men's Journal Magazine. Mm-hmm. I'll just say it. It's Men's Journal Magazine. I'm a huge fan of Men's Journal Magazine. I'm a reader of Men's Journal Magazine, every single issue that comes out, and have been for years. This surprised me. And, you know, I'm curious by nature, so I want to poke a little bit and say, hey, what's going on with this? Like, who declared this look the dad bod, you know, in the first place? Could we maybe shift the perception of the dad bod? Should we be rewarding a certain type or stereotype of dad bod? What message does that send to our kids, to other dads, to the notion of leading by example, to work ethic, effort, attitude, and the flip side, apathy, laziness, a sedentary lifestyle? And this, by the way, Joe, is not to me about aesthetics. You know, this is not about being jacked if you shoot video and I just flex for you here. It's not about being jacked or ripped or spending hours upon hours in the gym at the expense of other things in our life, and like fatherhood and family and finance and all the other stuff we'll get into, and having fun. I think what struck me really about it was, what do we want to reward in any aspect? What do we want to reward? And certainly reward handsomely. What type of behaviors, actions, activities, or inaction, you know, or complacency, or maybe lack of health prioritization versus prioritizing your health and wellness in there? And to what degree does appearance play a factor in that? I know some tremendously healthy men in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond. Mm-hmm. If you looked at them, it's okay, he's you know, healthy, but they don't look like they're winning, you know, any sort of bodybuilding competition, you know, at all. But I think it's more about the lifestyle. If this gets into your question about where do we want to maybe position things from a standpoint of positivity, from a stand of influence, advice, maybe lifestyle, leading by example. You know, you throw all those things in the bucket and you say, what types of behaviors do we really want to reward? And that to me was what stood out about this. Because here, for me, trying to redefine middle age, trying to maximize midlife, what that's all about, to me, is sustainability, longevity, fighting the dad bod, if you will, living longer, better, healthier, smarter, more efficient and effective lives. And that this middle where we are, this, which is a dad time for a lot of us, or midlife, or you can be young dad, guys are having children much later too. Again, we're living longer, we're living healthier. We're focusing maybe more on our careers earlier, figuring things out later, and even having children later. So you're going to be, or there are a lot of guys out there that are midlife dads.
Mm.
And at the same time, you see guys that are younger dads like becoming old very quickly. Like, why are you letting yourself go so early in life?
Yeah.
No, just because you're working, just because you're a dad, just because you have all these responsibilities now and you're an adult, you're a grown-up, you're like, why are you throwing in the towel on this other stuff?
Mm.
If anything, it should be the opposite.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I've also seen a couple of posts recently where this was on, I think, Instagram, and it was a men's, predominantly towards men's. And it was celebrating kind of body positivity and stuff. So there is kind of this sort of, there is the kind of dad bod, but there also is this kind of body positivity movement. Now I know that you have not been in good shape the whole of your life. I mm-hmm. certainly have not been in good shape the whole of my life, but I'd be lying if I didn't say to you that during those periods, I looked at myself, pictures of myself on the beach, and thought, you need to get yourself in shape, or you need to sort yourself out. And one of the kind of the most sobering moments of my life was holding my dad's hand as he slipped out of this world after having the second of two strokes, a fatal stroke. And what kind of irks me the most about this messaging, Greg, is that some of the messaging being put out is being put out by people who probably have not experienced that. Because if they had experienced that, they wouldn't be celebrating the dad bod. Or at least if they were celebrating this kind of notion of the dad bod, it would be phrased in a way that, hey, we understand that life takes over. We know that you'd have probably piled on some pounds. We will know that you've got into some certain habits, that you've probably developed earlier on in life or in your 20s or whatever and stuff. Okay. But we want you to see your grandchildren grow up, and we want you to live long and healthy. We want you to be mobile into your 60s and 70s. And the best way of doing that is to actually look at yourself and just be honest and say, right, okay, I'm not in the shape I should be, but I can bloody well get in the shape I should be. And so rather than giving you $25,000 as a dad bod reward, we'll say, okay, right, we're going to give you $25,000, but what we want you to help you do is to equip you with the tools, the resources, the mentoring, the guidance, the support, so that after, say, 12 to 18 months, if you can stick with this, then we'll give you $25,000. Not $25,000 just for having a dad bod, you know what I mean? And that's the difference. That's the difference in the messaging that I would like to see. And, the body positivity movement, again, and me and my wife have discussions about this because she gets very offended when she sees women who are obese described as curvy, because she looks at that and she's like, they're not curvy. They are overweight. And because they're overweight, the chances are they're going to have issues later on in life because of the amount of weight. And to your point on seeing younger and younger guys who have kind of let their bodies go, I'm also seeing increasingly younger and younger women as well. So it's not just a guy issue. It's a women and girls issue as well. Mm-hmm. So, I think it's the messaging being that it's moving towards a point rather than actually, we're going to reward you for being at this point. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, I also think that it's about putting health maybe in front of the body. Like I'm all about positive body image. And again, we're all genetically predispositioned to look a different way. Our bodies respond a different way. It's more, I guess, about what the phrase represents. And what that is about not making health the priority. And I think health should be a priority, regardless of what you look like. Again, if you're doing the best that you're genetically predispositioned to be, you're going to look, you know, the aesthetics are going to be a bonus. But if you are putting your health first at every age and stage of your life, or male or female, also, you're going to feel better. You're going to perform better. You're going to be sick less. You're going to increase your longevity, your ability to perform, probably earn more, maybe be a better husband or father, be a better mom, you know, be a better example for your kid. If you're just paying attention to your health. And that is where I think the importance is. You know, that's where the prioritization should be. So regardless of what physically you look like, it's more of what that term represents, you know? And in this instance, you know, focused towards men, than it is about being judged by your appearance. Mm. And I'll say this, like the fitness community, at least in my experience, is one of the most supportive, least judgmental communities out there. Because none of us got fit overnight. We know that. You know, to your point, you said, yes, I've had periods of my life where I have been less than healthy or even unhealthy. And unfortunately, you and I have this in common. This is an unfortunate thing to have in common. I was also in the room with my father holding his hand when he passed away at 47 years old. And I've had the dark, unhealthy days after that too, even knowing what to do. You put on the freshman 15 pounds in college, you drink too much, you smoke. Then maybe I regained some health for a little while. At least physically, it looked like I was in better shape. Maybe mentally, emotionally, I wasn't. Then you have your kids and you put on some weight and you're working harder. And then you do look at those photos and go, wait a minute. Like, that's not who I remember looking back at me, you know, or the size pants or whatever it may be, you know. But to your point, you know, if you're cognizant of it, then you start to bring things back around. It's, okay, wait a minute here. Yep, I'm working. I'm now starting to figure out this working thing, this earning thing, this adulting thing. I'm going to figure out this parenting thing, like a little bit. I'm sleep and life, and I've been married for a while. All right, like get your shit together and let's start losing the weight, okay, that you packed up. Like, you know, like, yeah, like life is a series of peaks and valleys. And when where we start to, you know, where we need to prioritize it at different times. And sometimes your priorities are just in other areas and you look back months later, a year later and go, wait a minute, okay, yeah, I've been ignoring that health thing. And then I'm not responding the way I used to in my 20s. I don't look like I used to. I'm not feeling as good. I'm not sleeping. But it's really, to me, more about the health aspect than it is about the aesthetics aspect.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the thing is it's easy for people to think, oh, actually, these guys are just saying it because you need to look, because society expects us to look buff. But in actual fact, there's more to that. And, you know, and we were talking about this off air, this notion of, you know, just in terms of the kind of pandemic, and we were talking about immunity and, you know, immune systems and stuff. And I mentioned to you, my words were to you, I've done a lot of work in the last 5 to 10 years to get my immune system in a good place that I've not had a cold in 5 years. And people will say, well, you're just being braggadocious. No, I'm not. That's deliberate. It means getting plenty of sleep each night. It means working out. It means drinking plenty of water. It means getting out in the fresh air. So there's a whole host of, you know, and getting vitamin D and getting the sunlight on my skin. You can see that I've got sunlight on my skin. But this kind of stuff doesn't happen by accident. And and someone said to me before, what's more important, physical health or mental health? And my answer to that was, they're two sides of the same coin. When you do, when you feel better physically, you feel better mentally. And when you feel better mentally, you feel better physically. And the two things are like a kind of positive feedback loop. And, you know, you mentioned about kind of, you know, what we do is we party through our 20s and all this kind of stuff. We also do, I think one thing I've learned looking back is that we develop coping mechanisms. So what happens is, you know, our go-to method for stress is eating, or our go-to method for stress is 4 or 5 beers on a Friday night, or doing a line of coke, or whatever it is that people do to cope with emotions, thoughts, and feelings. So this kind of discussion around health and longevity is not just about your immune system being good and you being good under the bonnet, but it's also about, you know, the habits you formed and your relationship with thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and how you begin to kind of take that apart, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you make a ton of good points. Now, some of those things sound like fun. Not for me, okay? But maybe to some. But I'm not against fun. If it's the opposite, fun is one of the 6 F's, you know, that I talk about. Fun is important. And actually putting fun at the forefront, because I think a lot of guys have stopped having fun or don't really know what type of fun they should have. What's the appropriate type of fun, again, for their age or place in life? There's good, clean fun. There's healthy fun. There's some of the fun that you described, you know, right there, which may, you know, may make for a tough morning, you know, the day after. And at the same time, you can do everything right and still, hey, I could get hit by a bus crossing the street tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen, okay, and not have had a slice of really good pizza, you know, in 6 years, you know? So I think there's, you know, there's, for lack of maybe a better word or an overused word, there is balance, you know, to this about, you know, being able to live your life, being able to have fun, enjoy, find things that you enjoy doing that are physical, you know, that are healthy, that are good, positive outlets that are there, and enjoy, but also be able to, again, prioritize and maximize your health. You know, what stood out to me also in you know, this contest, you know, or whatever they were doing to give away this large sum of money, like, one of the things that stood out to me was like, who do you think reads Men's Journal? Like, you know, like, I was just wondering, like, is there a huge contingent of dad bod readers of Men's Journal? It seemed to me that the majority of readers of Men's Journal, or that the demo that they're going after, is a pretty healthy demo. So my question is, are you trying to attract more dad bod type people? Are there advertisers in Men's Journal that want to appeal more to the dad bod guy than who I thought was really the Men's Journal reader like me? I just, again, was curious by nature about it and questioned kind of, what are we trying to do here? Who are we trying to attract to Men's Journal? What are we trying to reward here? What are we trying to say? And by the way, do I have this all wrong? And the dad bod you're thinking of, or the legendary dad bod you're trying to reward, maybe somebody just like you, Joe. I mean, may have read it completely wrong. I think I asked that question too.
Like, yeah.
Who's to say they're not just actually trying to redefine the dad bod and you're winning the 25 grand, so you should apply for it right now.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's just such a peculiar way of doing it. And to anyone thinking this, that me and Greg have got a thing against dad bods, it's not that at all. What I'm saying is that
I'm very supportive of dads. I'm very supportive of bodies, okay? And you put the two of those things together, and I want the best dads to have the best bodies and health possible, wherever you are in your life. And again, that is not front-loading the aesthetics aspect of it. That's front-loading the health aspects of it so that you can be the best dad you can be for the longest period of time that you can be that guy. You can make, again, my wheelhouse or platforms, you can make the middle, midlife, the sweet spot, which really it is and can be the best time of your life and setting you up for the next phase of your life, which can be even better. That's health, mental, physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. You know, that's all of those things in the same bucket. And I do think it reflects on the outside, you know, or on the physical appearance, of course, if you're living that way and doing all those things. And that's an even bigger bonus.
Yeah. And I think what I was trying to say before you helped me with that bit was I come across quite a lot of guys, I would say, are they've fallen into the trap of being helpless and hapless, the helpless, hapless man. And they feel powerless to change their own situation or powerless to do anything about the situation if they find themselves in and I think society has kind of, say, glorified, but they've, you know, being a victim has become a kind of badge of honor, if you like. And I think that, and I, in my experience, the guys that I come into contact with, they don't want to be the helpless, hapless guy. They want to have tools. They want to have the roadmap. They want to know what the route is to making them not feel helpless and hapless anymore, to making them feel empowered, to make them feel good about themselves, to make them feel like they used to feel, to be back on their mojo. And I think that's and I think that it's that kind of perpetual state of growth and movement and action and accomplishment. I think guys want to feel that. They don't want to be down in the kind of ditch. They don't want to be down in the gutter thinking, I'm a worthless piece of shit. They want to be succeeding. And I think that something that is kind of sort of endorsing that feeling of being helpless and hapless it just doesn't seem like a healthy way forward. That's my view on it. So
I agree with you. I agree with you, and I think it's well stated. I think that we can't do it alone. Nobody can. I don't think there are men out there that really want to gravitate towards this misery loves company mentality, but rather men that do want to break out. They want to do better, feel better, be better, perform better, all of those things. I think it gets confusing. They don't know how. They both how they got into this position in the first place and also how to get out of it, because life just kind of also happens. You start going, you know, your career situation just starts happening and evolving. Your marriage goes into a different place as the years pass. The divide and conquer approach with the kids, you know, if you have kids, the commitments, obligations, responsibilities that start to pile up, and you get lost in this. You lose a lot of yourself. And then who you're spending time with, because again, where the kids go to school or who you socialize with at work or who your clients may be and who your spouse's friends may not always align with your goals and lifestyle objectives also. So you try to take a step back. I think guys just, they get confused. They get complacent. They lose some control. They don't want to come home after a hard day also and have another uphill battle, you know, to deal with. And this goes on for a while. And, you know, like any habit, you can develop good habits, you can develop bad habits. These things go on for a while and it becomes harder to make change that way. And you start to not realize maybe how far off of the path and the course you are, and where you need to do some course correcting. And probably along these times, you've got a lot of people validating your behavior, validating, you know, what you're doing. And from the outside looking in a lot of ways, it also probably looks great. You know, if you're covering some of the other bases, you're giving so much of yourself. What I recognize, you're giving so much of yourself that you don't have anything left for yourself to make the investment in yourself, to take back some of your health. I see this with coaching clients all the time. And guys that reach out about coaching, they know they need to make change. They realize it, and they reach out for that introductory call, you know, even just, this is interesting. I know I could use greater accountability, use somebody that could help me perform a little better, maybe turn some of these F's into A's, you know, or at least, you know, over time. And when it comes down to making the commitment or making the investment in themselves, what typically comes up is, I need to ask my wife first. Or I can't make this decision right now on my own. Or all the reasons are coming up. Okay. And you go into that a little bit deeper. Okay, well, why, how come men can't make these decisions on their own? They can run successful businesses, they can be great fathers, they can even be good husbands, but they can't make decisions about their own life on their own. They can't make an investment in themselves, which would ultimately help them show up better for their family, their wives, their kids, their careers. They can't make that decision on their own. And in most cases, they're asking for forgiveness or permission. And they feel the need to, rather than support. And I find it fascinating. It's that they give so much of themselves, but they are almost kind of paralyzed. You know, we call it paralysis by analysis when it comes to helping themselves and improving themselves. And there's a fear and there's a hesitation. And sometimes it's financial. Hey, I've spent so much money on the schools, the camps, the life, the mortgage, the cars, the everything else. Sometimes it's, if I do this for myself, well, I have to buy her something. Really? Like, okay. Or, and other times it's, they're just used to being told what to do. Like, they've given up in so many other areas that they feel they need this. They need permission to improve themselves.
Yeah. It's interesting because I've had this discussion with a few people recently, and I liken it to guys sometimes know that they need to do some of this stuff. And what I've, a lot of guys now, they pull the ripcord on their parachute when they're about to hit the ground, instead of pulling it when they've a couple of minutes after jumping out of the plane. And I see this over and over again. And I did a post in my Facebook group around the topic of relationships recently. And one of the things that, you know, there was various things that I went through in this post, but one of the things that I said was that, as a kind of like a bonus tip, was to, if you're going out with your guy friends or you're doing something for you, you don't need to get a pass and you don't need to ask for permission for it. You just check that there's nothing else in the calendar that's going to clash, that the kids are being looked after if you've got really young kids, or, you know, there's no conflicts in the calendar, and you go do it.
Yeah.
Give yourself permission to do it, but you stop asking for permission all the time. And this isn't like a F you wife suggestion. This is guys validating their own decisions rather than having to get validation from somebody else to make the decision. And this kind of ties into the whole leadership discussion, because again, I think this is a legacy of the baby boomer generation and the kind of, dare I say, nice guy mentality, that guys are frightened to say, they're frightened to A, state their own needs, and B, take the necessary steps to get those needs met, whether they are needs that need to be within the relationship or outside of the relationship. And this kind of creates a real sort of kind of blockage for a lot of guys, you know?
I do. Women want you to be successful. Your partners, okay, whatever type of relationship you're in. I happen to be in a heterosexual relationship, married for almost 25 years. But whatever type of relationship you're in or identify with, I would think that your partner wants you to be successful, wants you to be happy, wants you to be healthy, wants you to be successful, wants you to be a good provider, all of these things. Who wants to be with somebody who's not? Right? So what are we so afraid of? What type of response do you think you're going to get if you ask your spouse, your significant other, for support for something that you want to do? I want to show up better as a husband. I want to show up better as a provider. I want to show up better as a father. I want to look better. I want to feel better. How does that sound? No, that sucks. I don't want any of those things for you. I mean, do you think you're going to get that type of answer? I think you're going to get a positive answer, which is yes. As a matter of fact, I want that for you too. So how can we make that happen? Whatever the steps may be. And I think it comes down to communication. I think it comes back to partnership. I think it comes down to approach. And we've maybe forgotten, a lot of us, how to approach certain situations. We've gotten kind of maybe fearful, apprehensive, keep things at arm's length. Maybe after a while, we're kind of afraid of a response, you know, or a mood or something, because I just can't handle it at this time. I got too much going on or whatever. And again, like any other habits, those things perpetuate and then they become the norm and routine. And we've maybe forgot or overlooked, wait a minute, like, we're in this together. This is a partnership. She, he, whoever wants me to be better, wants me to do better. These are the things I should be talking about. I should be bringing up. I should be doing. And maybe we just try to pay attention to those a little bit more. Try to approach these situations as opportunities, as ways to reclaim, again, some of the things maybe we've lost or some of the things that we have not been prioritizing. Some of the things that maybe she didn't even fully notice. But when you bring it to her attention, like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I would like you, you know, to do that. That sounds a lot better, because you know what? Lifting up your stomach, okay, to find your junk, like, is not that attractive to me anymore. I'd like you, like, I'd like you to shed those too. I'd like you to be happier, perform better. I mean, there is a semblance of humor to some of this too. Yeah. We got to spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
We're supposed to love each other and support. Like, let's make it a good time. Let's make it as good as it can be.
Gents, I'm going to jump into the conversation here very quickly. You've probably heard me mention that putting out a regular podcast involves a substantial investment of both time and money to make it happen. Guild of Dads isn't sponsored, and I'm 100% self-funded. So I've recently set up a service called Ko-Fi, which means that if you like and appreciate what I'm doing with Guild of Dads podcast and Facebook group, or even if you follow me on social media, then you can buy me a coffee to say thanks and support my work. Just head over to guildofdads.com and you will see a small coffee cup at the bottom left-hand side of the screen entitled Donate. You can also follow me on there, so I'll be posting updates and some other cool stuff just to let you know what I'm up to. Any of you guys helping to support the podcast and group by donating will get a shout-out on both platforms as my thanks to you for getting behind what I'm doing. On the 1st of November, I have something pretty special coming up, because that's when my Find Your Edge 28-day challenge starts, where over 4 weeks, I take a select group of dads on a journey of transformation that will teach you the most effective strategies I've learned to help you begin to live your life closer to the edge. I'm really excited about this one, because not only do I teach you everything I've learned since 2019 working with other men and dads, you get to cover creating a vision for your future, physical health and nutrition, mental health and mindset, and marriage and relationships. Not just that, but I have a dedicated personal trainer on hand throughout to help you hit the ground running on your physical health. To sign up, head on over to any of my social media platforms, click on the link in the bio or pinned post at the top, and jump on today. By the way, there's also an early bird offer running, so grab a special deal. If you hear this podcast later and have missed this advert, no sweat. Just DM me, as I'm running these all the time on a regular basis. If you've ever wondered how some of my amazing guests get to where they are in life, the athletes, the entrepreneurs, those making a massive impact on the world, I can tell you that pretty much all of them follow a very deliberate plan or system of some kind. This is exactly what I do too, and I'm revealing how you can implement a plan and system in your own life completely free in my ebook, The Dad Blueprint, over at guildofdads.com/dad. That's dad in lowercase letters. Incidentally, many of the people I interview on this show will be leveraging the power of similar systems to radically level up their lives and transform into the men and dads they always wanted to be. So you'll be an amazing company. And now, back to today's conversation.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that a lot. And I do agree with a lot of that. And that leads really nicely actually into what I was also going to ask you about. And so guys, if you're listening to this and you want to check out Greg on Instagram, you won't be surprised to see that, you know, Greg is a reasonably good looking guy. Probably not as good looking as me, I have to say, but you know, he's a reasonably good looking guy.
Yes, you're quite the dapper dude over there.
Yeah. But the you lost my train of thought, keep flirting with me there, Greg. But anyway, the thing I was going to say was, Greg is a man that takes pride in his appearance. And one of the things that we've been talking about is, you know, getting yourself in good shape on today's conversation. And I was talking to a guy called Tana Guzzi a little while back, and him and I agree on a few things. And he said to me that a lot of guys are like, yeah, real men don't care how they look. And I disagree with that statement. He disagrees with that. And I'm pretty sure you probably will too. But from your point of view, I know how kind of when I step out, particularly with my wife, and I feel good and I look good and I've taken pride in my appearance, you know, that's a nice feeling. It's nice for her to be around me. It's nice for me to be around her looking stunning. And it just kind of changes the whole dynamic of our relationship. It changes how I feel about myself. How do you feel, Greg, that kind of fashion, but also your own kind of personal style impacts on how you feel as a guy?
Yeah, well, I think you nailed it with how you feel. You know, I think style, how you look, it's about confidence. It's about how you feel. And I continue to struggle and have struggled for a long time with body image, with self-confidence. And I think sometimes when you see people who are maybe over-indexing in certain areas, maybe it's health and fitness. Okay, well, it's for a reason. You know, maybe we're struggling with body image. Maybe we're struggling with confidence. Maybe we've gone in this direction and over-indexing maybe a little bit more because mentally, you know, anxiety-wise, stress-wise, you know, maybe we're just not that comfortable. You know, this is something I work with and work towards myself all the time. I'm not in a super confident place like right now, as far as, you know, going out and feeling and looking my best. I shaved my beard off a couple of weeks ago. I just felt like shaving my beard off. So now I got to deal with all these skin issues because I haven't shaved in so long. And I'm like, oh shit, I got to cover that up. And that doesn't feel good. And that, like, that doesn't look good. So then so then I don't really want to go out, you know, into the gym and like sweat and all that. And like, you know, it's all a confidence thing. It's a feel thing. So, you know, don't maybe judge the book by its cover, you know, in a way. And what I try to do, at least put out there, is to do the very best that I possibly can. I try to be the very best that I can possibly be, and also acknowledge and be as transparent and vulnerable as I can about the days I don't feel great too, and how hard it is for me to sometimes also get up, get dressed, go out, feel confident when you're not maybe looking and feeling your best, you know, there. And especially now, because Joe, it's like so easy to stay in. Like you could just I mean, it's so easy to like never leave your house, you know, in a while. Like, you don't have to go to work, you know, anymore, or go to the office if you can work remotely. You don't have to go and take certain meetings like you had to do, you know, before. So like, you can retreat, you know, into a pretty dark space pretty quickly and pretty easily, if you're not careful, you know, there too. So I've written a lot about confidence, you know, and I really do think confidence is a superpower. And I tremendously admire people who have an innate sense of confidence, you know, self-awareness, confidence. It's really, it's not me inherently. It isn't. I got to work really hard at it. And it doesn't come easy to me, just like results of hard work, you know, like you get out what you put in there. So I don't know if that directly answers your question, but I do think it's important in regards to, hey, there are clothes that make me feel good, you know, and they make me feel confident and they make me feel like myself. And that I want to wear more of than being in some kind of uniform or out or something that doesn't make me feel authentic and like myself and powerful. There are activities I like to do, which give me, I feel like a certain kind of glow or confidence or I feel comfortable in there. And I just try to gravitate towards those things. And if I'm not maybe feeling or looking my best, I try not to really beat myself up over it too much. But maybe I will just, hey, I'll stay in a little bit, you know, longer. Maybe I will put that mask on my face, you know, or take that longer bath or do something to try to like get it back, you know, a little bit. But I don't think anybody's harder, you know, nobody's going to be as hard on you as you're going to be on yourself too. Definitely. So I try to be graceful with myself too. And I try to also think about that when I see other people or I'm around other people, and certainly with friends and with clients, it's nice to get a compliment. It's nice to try to help people find their comfort zone, you know, increase and improve their confidence level. So while I'm not a true believer that clothes make the man, I definitely am a believer and a proponent that finding your personal style, finding things that make you feel confident is really important to enable you to go out and be able to perform your best in all these other areas, because it's one less thing to think about. Like being insecure and lacking confidence, that's a hard place to be successful from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part and parcel of the kind of bigger package of confidence and the little pieces you have to put together to make it kind of happen and stuff.
Absolutely.
We've sort of talked about kind of different sort of challenges in terms of dad bod and fashion and how we kind of feel about each other. Do you think, like, I know that my priorities changed as I kind of hit sort of the midlife stage, and I know predominantly you're dealing with guys who are in that stage. How do you think that priorities change for men in midlife, and why do you think that it's so difficult for guys to kind of face down this kind of change that occurs? I mean, I've read two books recently. One is Richard Rohr's Falling Upwards, and the other one is James Hollis's Finding Meaning in Midlife. Two really good books, but James Hollis, I would say, kind of wings it for me. But he talks about this kind of ego death that goes on during our youth, and then how kind of midlife and forward is when you go on the soul journey, if you like. But I think guys struggle with, if you can imagine a bridge between these two worlds, letting go of that, what came before, and embracing this next part. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I need to read that. They both sound like great books, and I definitely want to read more and study up on the topic and get different perspectives to it. First I'll say there are three avatars, three types of people that typically kind of come in my direction, you know, at this point. One of them is the one you just addressed, which is that midwife male, that guy maybe who's in his crisis period or he's in his consideration, soul searching period. 40s, 50s, do I stay in this job? My kids are older and I've been married a long time. So it's the relation. Can I afford to leave and start something new? Can I not? It's a whole mess, you know, in there. It may not always look or appear messy, but he feels, you know, going through all these different emotions. Is this the beginning of the end or is this the beginning of the beginning? If I don't do it now, am I never going to do it? Am I going to have regret? You know, nobody wants to live with, I don't want to have regret, but I also don't want to be stupid and impulsive and rash, you know, and I think the grass looks green over there, but the grass may be greener right here if I just water it more. You know, like that's one guy. The second is the guy who's maybe not there just yet. He's about to turn that corner on that 40th birthday or that milestone, or you know, 45. Maybe he's reaching out a little bit later. He's kind of looking ahead and a little scared of what's ahead. He's not sure, and he wants to know. You know, like what's great about that guy is, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot more of those guys now. Is, you know, I really appreciate them being proactive. I really appreciate, you know, these guys that are more in touch mentally, emotionally, like with being open and looking and asking for help and saying, hey, I can't see 5 years ahead. Like maybe you can help me see 5 years ahead. My kids are 10. Can you help me see 15 and 18? You know, this is where my life is now. Can you maybe help me navigate, you know, to here? And maybe you can save me a few years, a few dollars and a few failures and a few, all of these things. So that's the second type. And then the third, we talked about it a little bit earlier, is women. Women reach out because they want their men to be better. And women are smart. And they're not afraid to be vulnerable. They're not afraid to raise their hand. They're not afraid to say, I need help. However they can get help, this is going to make me look better. It's going to make me feel better. I'm going to look younger. I'm going to talk, whatever. They're all in, you know? They'll do it in groups. They'll raise their hands in front of a lot of people, like whatever it is. So women are the third that reach out because they want their men to be better. At either stage. So those are the three, you know, that are there. But I think to get back to your question a little bit, I think it boils down to this complacency, you know, that men feel, and the stereotypes of the words you hear surrounding midlife or middle age. The first thing, you know, we can play word association if you want, Joey. Crisis comes up, boring, complacency, redundant. Nothing seems like fun. Nothing seems like so much opportunity, you know, is ahead that. I think that's what it comes down to, reframing that conversation. Mm. It comes down to changing the perspective that there's so much opportunity ahead.
Yeah. And it's often, I've noticed a lot of guys as well, it's almost like they're trying to run to use a PC analogy. Sorry for all these people that are running Macs out there, but it's almost like running a 2021 PC on Windows 95 software, and the PC will run fine, but you need to upgrade your software to 2021 rather than try and run the software that was working for you kind of 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And but that's a kind of quantum leap for some guys, isn't it?
It is, and I think you got to break it down, you know, into small manageable pieces. Which is, again, how do you want to feel? How do you want to be perceived? How do you want to look in the mirror, and what do you want to see? When you look in the mirror, what do you want to see back? Where can we make small lifestyle shifts? Maybe create some new habits, pursue some different opportunities, why did you stop doing this? You like them. Do you like art? Great. Paint. Did you used to play music? Play music. You know, what is stopping you? You know, the only thing that's stopping you is you. And I think, again, a lot of guys have lost that realization or that reality that, yeah, it's still up to me. Yes, I have built this life and I have all these things around and again, responsibilities and obligations, but hey, it's okay to put yourself first.
Yeah.
It's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to take care of yourself and find and make the time, you know, for it. It's okay to take that guy's trip. It's okay to play that game. It's okay to go to the gym. So like, as long as they're healthy, positive activities that are, again, part of living your life by design so that you can actually be the best you can be for the people that matter to you most, which also includes yourself, then this is all good. And what is your, and evaluate, and again, what is your relationship with money? Have you been the first one in and the last one to leave at work every day, you know, for 20 years? Do you really believe that the company will fall apart, you know, if you don't check your email for an hour because you've now made your, there's, I think, just a lot of conditioned learning or, and things that have to be maybe, you know, undone or are, you know, maybe unwound a little bit to allow for other things to get back in. And it's this pie chart that we all have. Yours is going to look different from mine, you know, Joe, of what's important of any of these, you know, if I call them the F's or you call them something else, what makes up the whole, our whole universe? And what percentage are we allocating to any one and every one of these areas? And I think what you find for a lot of guys, particularly in middle age, is that that percentage of the pie chart for themselves is very, very small. It's like a sliver because we want to be doing so much for everybody else and feel like men and be in control of everything that our little portion for ourselves has become this tiny little slice of the pie.
Yeah. It's kind of like one of the things I call it is parental martyrdom. And, you could even call it paternal martyrdom if you really wanted to, but it's this notion of, you know, it's the airplane analogy where, you know, there's a reason why they tell you to put the oxygen mask on first in the airplane, because you're not going to be able to be any use to your kids if you've suffocated through, you know, oxygen deprivation. So, and it's exactly the same principle, but getting guys to actually get their head around that and really internalize that concept that if you put yourself first, you are then able to show up as the best husband, the best dad, the best work colleague, the best friend. But you can't do that if you're not filling your cup first. You're running on fumes. You're running from an empty cup, and it's such a challenge for guys. But I think the key is not only just reading that or hearing that and thinking, yeah, I get that, but actually really internalizing that deep down that you're going to put your oxygen mask on first.
Absolutely. It's really well said, but it's also because that notion is somewhat contradictory to what we've been told and to what we've been telling ourselves for so long, which is give, 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 you know, give to get, give, 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 keep giving, you know, overall. Well, and now what we're also kind of saying is, hey, you got to be okay with taking a little bit, taking some things for yourself, putting yourself first, and getting past the notion that that's selfish. There are selfish behaviors. Don't get me wrong. There absolutely are. There are plenty of selfish douchebag guys out there that need to be called out on their behaviors. And we have a responsibility to do that too. Mm-hmm. But putting yourself first, like at, in context is not inherently a selfish behavior. That doesn't mean, you know, in a selfish manner. If anything, it's in a selfless manner for the reasons that you described, so that you can continue to give without burning out, without having a heart attack, okay, without disappointing your wife or your kids, because everybody, I mean, you can only redline for so long, Joe, before you blow an engine. I mean, just, we all have a capacity. Yeah. Mentally, physically, again, emotionally, financially, we keep going over the same thing because these things are all connected.
A lot of the stuff we've talked about is interconnected. And I think, you know, I'm going to lead into my kind of last point that I'm going to kind of grapple, because we've grappled with a lot of stuff tonight. I think in this conversation, grappled some stuff into submission a little bit. You've got two sons. You've got two teenage sons. Am I right in saying that?
Yep. Auden and Harper, they're 18 and 15.
So a lot of the stuff that we're talking about and on this discussion, and a lot of the stuff I'm talking about with dads, once they begin to realize this stuff about themselves, they next begin to think, well, hang on a minute, what world are my sons coming into, or what world are my daughters coming into? And I notice this on what I'm doing with dads. You know, wouldn't be noticing it as well, that there is a kind of backlash at the minute against men and against boys. And as far as we're concerned, in certain aspects, not in all aspects, but in certain aspects of commentary, should we say, that's going on at the minute, guys and boys are to blame for everything, all of society's ills, but which doesn't create a fertile ground for guys like you and me to have conversations with other men and say, look, hang on a minute, you need to start putting your needs first. Well, hang on a minute, I've been told that I'm the asswipe here that can do nothing right, and that everything's my fault, and my wife says that everything's my fault, and society said that everything's my fault. How do we, as kind of dads and as men, begin to kind of help us? I know that I don't want my daughters growing up in a world where they see men as the enemy. And I think most guys with daughters don't want that. And most guys with sons don't want their sons growing up in a world where they have to be frightened to say anything for fear of, you know, he's the bad guy sort of thing. How do you think we grapple with this difficult question, Greg?
It's, look, that's a challenging one. I want to raise good young men. Now, what does that mean? You know? What is a good young man? Am I going to raise mistake-free or mistake-proof men? Probably not. And unfortunately, it's a relatively, you know, unforgiving world out there, which is much different from when I was also raised, where things are captured differently or can live forever through the wonders of phones and social media and all kinds of other, you know, things that are out there. You know, what I try my best to do, and I was I'm a highly imperfect. I don't love the person I was and think I've always acted and behaved wonderfully, certainly not by today's standards. When I try to reflect back to my teens, you know, my teens, my 20s, my 30s, you know, I think I'm a slow learner and a late bloomer, and have a lot, you know, and have a lot to be thankful and grateful for, that I survived certain experiences and that I've been able to try to improve and do better as I've gotten older and have seen a lot of things. I try to instill that to my boys, that again, I don't expect perfection, and I want them to be kids and young men, and they are going to make mistakes, but be aware and be cognizant of what can really trip you up in life. Trust but verify. Be careful and cognizant of situations and scenarios and people that there's probably going to be a story every Monday about the party you went to the weekend over the weekend. Don't let it be about you. Don't let the clip that gets circulated, you know, be about you. Treat people with respect. Be very careful with substances and losing control of your faculties out there. Treat women with respect and be incredibly careful how you act, what you say, what you do out there. And for me to just try to lead by example. Do I treat their mother with respect? Do I treat other women with respect? Do I conduct myself in a manner that I think they would be proud of, that they would be proud of? And we use that term a lot now. Hey, are you proud of that? Are you proud of that effort? Are you proud of the way you applied yourself there? Or you did? If you are, okay, great. If you're not, like, let's back up and do it again, you know? Mm. Or maybe do it differently or better the next time, because you have to take responsibility for yourself too. And the people that you surround yourself with. You get in a car with somebody, you're in a car with somebody. You don't know who they are, you know, what they've taken or not taken before they get behind the wheel or you get in a car with them. You know, want to go on a date? You really should know that girl. Okay. She's all about. So, and I do not profess to have all of the answers or almost any of the answers. But we try to just lead by example. We try to communicate with our boys. I am constantly sending them. I am sending them articles. I am sending them, you know, I send them texts. I send them articles. I send them clips. I try to give them things in formats that they actually understand and don't just think, you know, that I'm the loser dad who doesn't get it, you know, at all. Yeah. I try to explain to them as best I possibly can and as relatably as I possibly can what shit I did wrong when I was their age and things that I did that I'm not happy or particularly proud about and that you cannot possibly get away with today either. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to say it to them in a manner like, hey, like this is like something to be, I'm proud of or bragging about, or I want to put it in perspective for you boys about how, you know, you should or should not go about doing certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the thing is I think there's that expression that for fathers of girls, it's kind of it's be the father that your daughters would one day want to marry, and be the this is to daughters and the father that your sons want to be like. I think I've got it in a nutshell. And I think that's all that we can.
I don't have daughters, so power to you. I think, you know, you get what you can handle. You know, I'm one of three boys in my family. I have two boys. Like my brother has a son. I feel like we only know how to make boys in our family, I guess. So my wife is like the only girl other than my mother, only woman. But one thing I forgot to mention, I did want to bring this up, which I think is important, is I don't want my boys to ever be afraid to come to me. Mm. You know, that's something we talk about a lot, that the most important thing is telling the truth. Tell the truth, be honest. If you need to get picked up from a place, call. If something's happening that you don't want, call. Never be afraid. Do not think that you can handle these things on your own. You're not meant to yet. You're not fully developed. You do not have all the answers. You can't get yourself out of some of these situations. Don't try. Do not be afraid to come to me or come to your mother. As long as you do that, like, hey, you don't want the double whammy. You know, the double whammy is you make a mistake and you compound it by trying to get yourself out of it or not telling the truth or not coming to us. You don't want the double whammy. You know, like, hey, I'm your friend, but I'm your father first. The dad shit's easy. That's like the coaching sports, the being your friend, like having all the fun together. The father shit's hard. Like that's the being a disciplinarian, you know, that's really laying, setting the rules, the leading by example part, the financial preparation for their future, all the other stuff. Dad stuff's like easy. Like, hey, there's a time for both there. And I think that's what we try to work with in our house. And Kate, my wife, is super, super helpful with that and maybe keeps me in check sometimes if I try to go overboard.
As they all do.
And we just try to help each other. But I can assure you and anybody out there, we don't go to bed at night thinking we've got this figured out or we're doing a great job. You know, we go to bed, we worry every single night that we're making a ton of mistakes and are screwing these boys up. You know, it's...
And every parent goes through the same as that. But the thing is kids need to see you making mistakes because then they realize that actually making mistakes is a good thing because then you can actually learn from the mistakes that you're making. And that is the example that you want to be saying. Because the thing is if you never, ever, if you never fuck up, you never learn anything. And it's kind of like, it's that whole thing of, you do not know that your hand is going to be burnt until you put your hand in the fire and find out that it's going to burn your hand.
And that's a fine line. It's like, listen, make mistakes you can come back from. Like there are mistakes and then there's, okay, like that's, you may not, you can't come back from that. You know, there are, again, there are things in, you know, that are life and death.
Yeah.
I mean, cars, drugs, alcohol, substances. I mean, there are things, you know, strangers, you know, like all kind of people. There's stuff out there that you can't come back from, you know? So I try not to sweat the small stuff and I don't want to go more, but really be cognizant of the heavier stuff. Like, hey, like your grades are good. You're healthy. You're a pretty good athlete. Overall, you guys are good kids. Like, do not, like, we got to be real cognizant and real careful and take me really seriously about the things that, you know, there are mistakes you couldn't come back from. So you need to be aware of what those are.
Sage advice to anyone listening that has boys or girls. Greg, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you this evening. And we've gone on a roller coaster of different subjects, but it's been great speaking to you about all of this stuff because, you know, you're a little bit older than me. You've got less hair than me, although mine is more gray than yours. So, you know, it's kind of even Stevens at this juncture. And I can see you've got a sense of humor about this. So actually, if Greg was actually here in person, he'd probably be ripping my head off by now, but that's
not. Hey man, we gotta take this stuff. We gotta own it and we gotta wear it, you know?
If people want to find out about you, what you do, Greg, what is the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, well, thank you very much. First, I enjoyed being on the other side of the mic. So we got to flip this around, okay, so that you do most of the talking when you come on. Instagram is a great way. At Greg Scheinman, super easy to find. You can go to gregscheinman.com also, and you can subscribe to the Midlife Male podcast on wherever you find podcasts. Also, you can just plug in Midlife Mail. It's up on all of those platforms. And every Sunday I put out a newsletter, which you can subscribe to also at gregscheinman.com and get that dropped in your inbox every Sunday. And that will give you, you know, a couple hundred words on my thoughts of what's going on for the week, you know, over there, a new episode of the podcast and a few things that I'm into each week.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you one more question, and it's one that I don't prime any of my guests for. Greg, what is it in life that gives you meaning?
That's a great question. I may steal that from you too. Well, I think we kind of ended on my family. My family gives me meaning. You know, that's my why. That's my purpose. And from a me, that's the most meaning I have. You know, when I think of legacy, when I think of taking the why into the how I do things, it always comes back to family. I mean, that's number one in my, in the order of my F's also. It's front and center, and I'm in the bonus time right now. As I said earlier, you know, unfortunately my dad passed away. He was 47. I was 17. My brothers were 14 and 8, you know, at the time. So for me at 48 with two teenage boys, like I'm in the bonus time, man. So, you know, that's my meaning. That's what I do all of this for.
I love it. I love it. And it does shine through in the content that you put out and how passionately you talk about your boys and your wife. So I appreciate it, Greg, and I appreciate the work that you're doing and also that we actually connected because it was pretty much by accident, but I'm glad that we did make this happen.
Hey, that's
it's happened
the way
for a reason, man.
The best things happen that way. Joe, thank you so much for having me. Anything I can do to return the favor, just ask. I love what you're doing as well.
Excellent. My name is Greg, man. A big thanks to Greg for joining me. There are a few places you can check him out. We mentioned he's on Instagram. His website is gregshineman.com. And you can also subscribe to the Midlife Male podcast. As we discussed today, both Greg and I have been through stages of not being in the best shape of our lives. So today wasn't a chance to castigate those at that stage right now. What today was designed to do was really take apart how the dad bod has been used as a marketing ploy, when at the same time, it really does mask some of the risks of chronic disease in doing so. If you want to link up with me, you can do so on Instagram or Facebook using the handle @CureOfDads. Let me know what resonated with you about this episode. Perhaps you have a dad bod. Perhaps you ditched the dad bod and you're enjoying great health right now. Did I mention that you can buy me a coffee on my website, guildofdads.com? It's really easy and helps keep the lights on here at Guild of Dads Towers. Just head on over to guildofdads.com, click the coffee cup button and go for it. In order to have a positive impact on the world, we improve ourselves and inspire others. Share this podcast with others so that they may benefit from anything you have found useful or interesting. And gents, this is as easy as hitting the share button, putting in the names of 5 other men and saying, hey, check this out. Use the hashtag Guild of Dads on social media and tag me in. I'll shout you out. The other thing you can do is leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, which really helps other dads to find the podcast. Right now, the Guild of Dads Facebook group is growing fast, very fast, in fact. If you want to get on board, head on over to there and join up today, where you can get around a lively group of other guys talking everything about being a dad and improving themselves as men and dads. Hopefully, you find something insightful in every episode, so share with dads you know. In the meantime, live a life of vision, action, and meaning. Apply what you hear, and we'll see you next time.